Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust, and I am a life transformation expert. My goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life, and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. Ever since I was in college, I have fallen so in love with coffee, especially first thing in the morning, because I am not a morning person. But I've tried to do black coffee before and it just wasn't working for me. It was really bitter and I've got a sweet tooth. So I always find myself adding too much into my coffee, whether that be cream or sugar or flavored syrups. When I really looked at my health and I really was looking at what I put into my body every single day, I realized that my coffee was pretty much like having a candy bar every single day. It really wasn't that great for me nutritionally. So I am so grateful and excited to have found this coffee company. They're called Coffee Over Cardio. Coffee Over Cardio is a brand and it's specifically targeted at boss babes, so female entrepreneurs, but really anyone can enjoy these flavors because they are so dang good, you guys. And they're so good for you. They are gluten-free, sugar-free, calorie-free. So then how are they flavored? The flavor is actually sprinkled onto the beans and baked before the coffee is ground up. So you get the flavor really deep into the coffee bean. My favorite flavors in general are the birthday cake and the cinnamon bun. I honestly don't really have to add that much to the cup anymore. I maybe put in a little bit of almond milk just for texture, but otherwise, I don't need the same amount of sugar and crap and everything that I was adding to this cup of coffee. The coffee itself is delicious. So if you're interested in trying it, or if it sounds like it's up your alley, head on over to coffeeovercardio.com. I'm going to hook you up with 10% off if you just use the coupon at checkout, 10DavinaF, you will get 10% off your purchase. So please enjoy this delicious coffee. Let's get into the show. Hey guys, welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. And we are wrapping up Pride Month. World Pride is actually, at the time that I'm recording this, World Pride will be held in my city next weekend. So I really wanted to bring somebody on that was willing to share their story of stepping into their power as a homosexual. And today I found somebody absolutely amazing to do that with us. I have Chris Brossman. Chris and I actually kind of came from the same small hometown, and then we ended up going to the same college together. And when I knew him, he was in a serious relationship with a woman. And now that we are friends here in the great New York City, he is a loud and proud gay man. So I would absolutely love to share this story. And Chris, I'm so grateful that you're willing to put yourself out there. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Davina. No, I'm so grateful that someone's willing to listen.
Absolutely. So let's just take it back to when I knew you, when you were dating your ex-significant other for that really long amount of time. At the end of that, was it, without getting into too many muddy details, were your wheels kind of turning back then that you may be interested in men? Or just walk us through your story and what had happened.
Sure. So as Davina has said, I was in a very serious monogamous relationship with a woman throughout my entire college career. It happened pretty early on in our freshman year. It actually happened, I guess, on an orientation was when we first met. So yeah, I was with a woman for just around 5 years until we like stopped all communication because we did try to work on it, but our hearts weren't really in it. And it was very painful at the time. But I think growing up as a kid, there wasn't a time where my mom probably didn't know that I was a little different. I was always very artistic. I did play with Barbies when I was little, much to the dismay of my father, who is fully accepting now, but not understanding why his little boy wanted to play with dolls. And I also was very into, I always would tell people I wanted to be a fashion designer when I grew up. So I don't think, when I finally did come out to my mom basically said, Chris, did you think I didn't know, sort of thing. But also being in that relationship for such an amount of time, she was ready also to welcome this person as her daughter-in-law. And my sister looked at her as another sister, sort of thing, as like the big sister she didn't have. So it kind of rocked our entire family. There was some infidelity towards the end of our relationship that kind of rocked the relationship. It had been going on for some time that I hadn't been aware of. So taking it back, I think that I liked men and I liked women. I could appreciate the handsomeness of the male body. And if someone was a good looking guy, I would notice them, sort of thing. But to be completely blunt and be completely frank, for the longest time, I used to say that I was bisexual. It wasn't something that I sought to put a label on. But also being in the theater world, Davina and I went to school for theater, for those of you who didn't know, you're always around people who lead the homosexual lifestyle. And I believe very strongly that they are born that way. I don't think that it's a choice or something to do that's in vogue or anything like that. I think it's something that I definitely always had in my mind. So I think it was given the territory, given that I grew up in a very small town and I was this kid that kind of sang all the time and was into theater and the drama club. I think it was kind of assumed that I was gay. And I think I fought it for a long time throughout high school and maybe even college. But then when I went to college and I met this person who I thought was great and who I aligned with and got very, not intimate on a sexual level, but like intimate on a mind and thought and spiritual level very quickly with, I don't think that those feelings ever really went away. I could still appreciate like a good looking guy, but I just happened to be with a woman and it was working and I wasn't unhappy or felt like I was trapped in a closet. I was just living, I guess, the life I think I was supposed to be living at that time. It wasn't something that I consciously ever was trying to make work. We, as Davina might be able to speak more about, I don't think that there was ever a time where it was very apparent that we were like trying to make it work on a level that she was like, I know that the N word to use is like a beard. I don't think we were like, there was never any hiding it. I was happy with the relationship I was in. I was happy with the person I was. But hindsight is always 20/20 sort of thing.
Absolutely, yes. And first of all, I love how you reflected on how being gay is not a choice. And I shout that from the rooftops because dating men for me is so frustrating that I would love to choose.
Me too.
I would love to choose to date a woman, but I am not attracted to women. So henceforth. But anyway, I love this part. And I really own that mother's instinct of her being so accepting and loving of you no matter what. But knowing who you are and knowing the circumstances that we both grew up in, you know, I can speak for myself that after college, I did move home to my hometown and I felt like a misfit. I felt like I don't belong here. And it was just because I wanted to do more creative work and our area doesn't really have a lot of
opportunities
in that light. So I'm just wondering about your post-grad experience when you moved back home and I believe you were working locally in a nursing home at that time.
I was.
What was it like to go through that transition period of, you know, having just ended your relationship, living in this town, weren't living your authentic self openly? Would you be willing to share about that time?
Sure. So Davina's right. I mean, college and the expense of it being what it is, and everybody always tells you, you know, don't move to New York City until you have 2-3 months of rent. So I wasn't financially able to jump right into where I wanted to be. But also, I was still very much fighting against hope, now I can see, for my relationship. And that kind of took over and ruled my world. And I was very sad and very depressed for a very long time after we had finally called it quits. It was not a happy time. And I think I loved my time working at the nursing home. I would still probably be there had I still been in Schuylkill County, which is where we grew up in Pennsylvania. I would probably still be there. I loved those people. I loved their stories. I was very active in the social services department, and I would have, part of my job was going and getting the background on our residents when they entered the facility. And these people and the wealth of knowledge and the experiences that they had gone through, and sometimes sitting down with somebody who didn't have any family left, or people whose kids just kind of left them there because they didn't live locally. And our facility was very great about making sure everyone's interests were met and there was something for everybody to do, whether they were artistic or somehow musically inclined or liked to write or anything like that. But I think I was going through the breakup and it was very raw. And sometimes to sit down with people who didn't have anybody left that they felt cared about them, and feeling that in for myself, I don't even know how old I was at that point in time, like 24, 25, maybe, feeling that I was at that same point in my life as I was sitting down with those people was really rough. So it wasn't the ideal working environment probably to be in, but there were also days that were so rewarding when you got to send somebody home and who thought they were never going to get to go home because they had met their rehab goals or something like that, or just bringing a smile to somebody. Like I used to do singing Valentine's every Valentine's Day to raise a little money for the activities department. And I would put my tux on and I would go to the residence rooms and I would sing them a song that their family could pick for them. They had like four options. And they got a little rose and they got a song for the day. And that was really rewarding to me, to be able to bring like a smile to somebody's face, even when internally I was feeling so pained. So I was at home for about, I guess, a little under 4 years before I finally made the leap to New York. And it was very fast moving. It was sort of like 1 week I was at home and the next I was here sort of thing. The job actually that brought me here was also working with elderly and scheduling nurses for a home health organization. I had experience with people's needs from and getting services set up for them, home health services, and it was a great job and it offered me the ability to come to New York. And I had some money saved, probably not enough at the time, to come here and live with somebody who I had also lived with in college. Well, before I did that, I can say that I had been intimate with someone of the same sex before moving to New York, but it wasn't until I got here where I guess I fully like plunged into the pool sort of thing. Yes.
Yeah, taking that leap of faith. My story is the exact same. I moved to New York City with absolutely no savings and somehow we've made it. We've been here for a really long time. So kudos to us. Yeah. So then what has been your biggest transformational lesson, or if there's something that has really awakened you during your transition from, you know, being out and proud and being like from the person you were to the person you are now, is there anything that you can really reflect on?
Sure. So I definitely feel overall that being happier with myself also is now being put out into my circle of friends and the people who I choose to surround myself with, and even on the day-to-day, because I can say that I was not always maybe the nicest person in college, but I think looking back on it, it was probably because there was something I was unhappy about, and it probably went beyond not getting a role or something. It was probably something internally that needed to be worked out and needed to be realized, but I think something that I really sit and reflect on it when I go on a date or when I look at someone's profile to even think, go on a date. Like, I'm now not going to compromise who I am for someone else again, because I always like to say, don't ever let anyone dull your sparkle. And it feels some days like a weight has been totally lifted off of my shoulders because I can be my authentic self and because I'm happy that's translated to other people. But I will never let somebody rob me of who I am, or I can't think compromise is important in a relationship, but I think there always has to be a healthy give and take, and I'm not going to allow myself to be taken advantage of or put into a corner sort of thing any longer. I'm going to be me, and if you don't like it, you know, there's the door sort of thing. I think a pinch of echo is a little long way. I'm not saying that I'm totally not moldable or malleable to a situation, but I'm very, very conscious when I go into things now, knowing what I have been through, to look for the warning signs and not overthink it, but think about what's happening before going all in on something.
Absolutely.
I think having like good friends is, and having a circle that keeps you honest is very important for that. I have a roommate now, and we were friends for about 2 years when I was first came here. And then we had a little bit of a falling out over something stupid, and we reunited, and I've lived with her now for almost 2 years, but she definitely keeps me honest. She keeps me real, and I do the same for her. And I think it works perfectly, but I think you have to absolutely surround yourself with people who are going to keep you honest and hold you accountable sort of thing as well.
Yes.
I'm sorry, because, I cut you off.
No, that's okay. It's a really great point, because when you have the right people in your corner, they want the best version of you, which they know you also want. So
mm-hmm. when they see you, and I think I definitely fought that with some people in my circle of friends in college. They saw warning signs. I remember very distinctly there was one night where the two people I was living with as roommates sat me down in our living room and were like, "What are you doing?" And I was just so blinded by love that I was like, "Oh, you're wrong," sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was the case. I mean, people always see it before you see it. And I think having people who you trust and people who are good enough to be your eyes and ears and be like, "I don't know about this," is very important.
Yes, yes. And you say, now that I'm happy with me, I'd love to find love. So you're putting yourself out there, you're on the dating apps. How's that going so far?
Well, I do put myself out there. I'm not a huge fan of the apps. I would prefer to, I think I make a better first impression than I do if you read me, because everybody always flexes those like computer muscles and is like, "Girl, I'm this way," or "Girl, I'm that." And what, like, once you like sit down with me and realize what I'm willing to share and things like that, I think I make a better first impression. I'm not on the dating app sort of to hook up or to sleep around a whole lot. Not that that's a problem. If people are into that, live your lives. It's just not sort of the thing that is for me, because I also realize that I catch feelings very quickly, which is something I've gotten better with. Also due to my past, like I said, keeping people around you, keeping you honest, being like, "What are you doing?" sort of thing. I would not say that I am committed to anyone right now.
Yeah, you're just open to whatever New York has to offer. And
hopefully
it'll be somebody coming up to you politely on the street.
Yes.
It happened to me recently, so never say never, you know. And
I love a good rom-com story. Everybody wants that, and I can't say that I'm any different.
Absolutely. But speaking of rom-com and entertainment, you also mentioned that you are now pursuing doing more cabarets and putting on some more cabarets. So I'd love to talk about that briefly. What exactly are the storylines behind your cabarets? Do you talk about your life stories, or you just kind of put together a medley of songs that you enjoy singing? Like, what exactly is your strategy for those?
Sure. So I like to approach them all, I think, a little differently. When I first moved to New York, I actually met my roommate doing a singing competition at the now closed Metropolitan Room, but they had a singing competition every year that they did. And we met during that and kind of hit it off and made it very far. We were semifinalists. We didn't make it to the final rounds, but we also were offered our own shows. And I think the first time I wasn't as open to sharing me quite yet, because I was still very new in the city. So the first one, I just did like a Christmas show of songs that I liked. sort of thing. But then the second one, I definitely delved more into my past, spoke about finding my authentic self sort of thing. It was kind of like a roadmap of how I got to the person I am today. We did that one once, and then we actually reworked it a little more for another go-round at the duplex. We took out some of the stuff that we didn't feel worked as well. We got a little more personal the second time around. But it was all about kind of finding my comfort zone sort of thing. And I know art is not about always finding your comfort zone, but you've got to start somewhere sort of thing is how I looked at it. So, yeah, I just did those maybe stereotypical type of shows where it's like, hey, this is me, meet me. But now I'm definitely looking to do energizing my shows with my personality, but maybe looking at a certain genre of music or a certain artist and just examining their work. I think I'm 32, and I think the older I get, the more I appreciate people of yesteryear or just like the Great American Songbook in general and listening to songs that I didn't know beforehand and thinking, wow, like what a lyric. I mean, I think for any show to be successful, you have to find something that you connect with, even if it's on like a very basic level. But I think the more personal and the better you connect with it, the more your audience will probably appreciate it, because they're getting your authentic self and they're getting like, you on a plate sort of thing without you telling them, this is who I am.
Right. And who knows you better than you also. So it's
correct. It's but I do have a music director and a creative director that helps me formulate my thoughts, because as you can tell, if you're listening to this, I am a rambler and it's like, try to figure out where he's going to go. And these are the list of songs and how do we make this work sort of thing. Okay. So I'm very grateful for those people that help me out. I like it because even though I went to school for theater, I learned very quickly. I did come into the city for a couple of auditions while I was living in Pennsylvania. Nothing ever really hit. Sometimes I would get a callback, sometimes I wouldn't, but it would always be like self-submissions that I was doing. But I realized very quickly through that process that I did not enjoy being at a cattle call sort of thing, or waiting around all day to see if they were going to get to you was very much not my style.
Amen.
I wanted to do the work. I wanted to actively be doing something, and sitting stressing out all day was not it. So what I like really about cabaret is I get to tell things that mean something to me. I get to make my own rules. I get to sing the songs that mean something to me, and nobody's kind of breathing down my neck with, we have to do this, this has to be done today, 5 pages of dialogue have to be learned tonight. Like, no one's doing that. And I think structure's great, but I think that the best art comes from a collaboration. That's why I like having people that help me. But I realized very quickly that the auditioning lifestyle and the go of it, even though it sounds like it's go, is a lot of sitting around, and I just have to be doing something.
It robs the joy. Yeah. And that's
it does. It takes away that something special that's there. I mean, I have friends that are on Broadway. I love to see a Broadway show. Love to go to off Broadway. I mean, it's the greatest thing New York has to offer. I love the theater, but I'm fine with not being up there. And I'm kudos to anybody who does those 8 shows a week and can audition and not know whether they can pay their rent. I just can't do that. It's not for me. Yeah. So cabaret allows me to not worry about those things. I get to have a day job where I can pay my rent, and I have my artistic endeavors that feeds my soul sort of thing.
Yeah, that's so great. And it's all about just being true to yourself and knowing what you need from the world and putting out what makes you better and what makes other people better as well. So to kind of wrap that up, if you are willing, and if anyone is listening to this show that is maybe a few years behind you, right? So they're just realizing that it's time to step out into their authentic selves, either as a homosexual or whatever it is that they're struggling with. Do you have any sort of piece of advice or just a little tip for them to carry with them today?
I would say you don't need to say it out loud and shout it from the rooftops when you feel comfortable. Sometimes the biggest statements are kind of the quietest ones. So maybe whispering it to yourself before you go to sleep at night, like, oh my God, this is, I'm gay, like, sort of, this is who I am, sort of thing. You don't need to go out and paint your house a rainbow. Like, you take your time, do what feels right to you. There is no proper way to come out of the closet. Sometimes it takes people some time, and that's okay. You don't have to take the plunge immediately. Slow and steady wins the race. You have to do what's right for you. I know there's great coming out stories like, oh my gosh, I suddenly just realized it and I blurted it out at the dinner table. That's not how it was for me, and that's not how it needs to be for you. Don't let anybody define what your coming out needs to be or what that means. As Davina said, who knows you better than you? So I would just say slow and steady wins the race, sort of thing. I mean, I did not come out until at least a year into being in New York. And that was probably damn near 6 years since I was out of my relationship. So do you. That would be my advice.
Do you, boo. I love it. So if you are willing to connect with people who are listening to the show, is there either a social media handle on Instagram or Facebook where they can best reach you?
Sure. I'm on Facebook. It's just Chris Brossman on Facebook. I am also on the Instagram, but when it comes to technology, I'm 80 and I don't post a lot. I like a lot of people on Instagram, but if you want to slide into my DMs, like the kids say, that's totally fine. I think it's the original C. Bross on Instagram. You probably won't see many posts from me, but I am on there and I follow more than I post. So yeah, I don't have Twitter because my mouth would get me into trouble if I was on Twitter. And I just don't like technology to completely rule my world. So I will hold on to Facebook as long as I can as being my mode of communication and keeping tabs on people. But the gram is fun every now and then.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Do you, boo, as we said. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show today and just being so open and so willing to talk about everything that you've been through. And I am rooting for you, of course.
Thank you, Davina. I honestly, when I saw you post that you were looking for people who had a story to tell, I felt like it was the time to do it. And I felt like this was the perfect forum, knowing how warm and open you are in our interactions outside of speaking on a podcast. Davina and I do some homeless outreach, and it's great fun. And it usually is followed up with some sort of a boozy brunch where we tell secrets and things. But it's very good for the soul. And I knew that I was in good hands and totally willing to come on here and be comfortable. And if somebody needs to hear it and listens to this and it gives them some peace of mind or something within them, good.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.